Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and this is the BVOV broadcast, the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Now, listen, your testimony, we need to hear from you. It's on the screen there. Let us hear from you. BVOV testimonies. Whew, exclamation point. Where do I start? BVOV has a big deal back in my native home in Manhattan, New York. The big talk for my mother, and I was always the next BVOV guest. The many years of solid teachings and the analogies Brother Copeland used to convey a point are a part of my spiritual DNA. We have helped to align my thought patterns with God's word. I could go on. Thank you doesn't suffice. Jesus is Lord. S.H. from Florida.
Wow. Praise God.
Glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Now then, remember what we read? The Apostle Paul. I retired and went into Arabia that he might reveal his son in me. So, let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, please. Remember this next time you receive communion. Verse 22, have you no houses to eat and drink in, or despise the church of God and you share them? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord. In Arabia. I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. The same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, the cup is the New Testament. Well, in one, I believe it's Amplified says, this is the New Covenant. Because that's really what the word is. This is the new covenant in my blood. This you do as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks condemnation unto himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many have died. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened or corrected by the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. He said he received this of the Lord. He saw it. He was right there in that room, in the spirit.
Yep.
And to know this of this great apostle. And he said, I'm the least of the apostles because I persecuted the body of Christ. But that's it. But he said, on my way to Damascus to get more letters, a light shined in my face and knocked me to the ground. He was a Roman citizen, so obviously he was on the horse. Knocked me to my ground. I could not see. And they led me away. And there was a man by the name of Ananias that said, go to a city in Damascus called Straight, and there you will find a man. I want you to pray for him. He walked in there and said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even the God, appeared to me in a vision and said that I should come and pray for you, that you might be saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And so he laid hands on him, and the scales fell off of his eyes. But when he struck him down, the shortest salvation prayer in the world, Lord, who are you?
Yep.
I'm Jesus who you persecute. That turned him around right there. And he wrote all this. All of these letters. He saw all these things in the Spirit. So next time you take communion, keep that in mind. And just see him up there on top in Arabia, on top of Mount Horeb, where the Ten Commandments were given. And he's sitting up there with God. He didn't have to have a veil around his face. Because he's a born again, Holy Ghost baptized, tongue talking man, which Moses was not until captivity was led captive. That's very important. Because he wrote 2/3 of this New Testament. Praise God.
Yes.
And Father, we just thank you for this.
Thank you, Lord.
We worship you, Peter.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we praise you, and we praise you, and we
thank
praise
you,
and we praise you, and we praise you. So the next time you receive, and all of these letters, as you read it and you read it, you see that all of this is, it doesn't say how long he was in Arabia. It just said he came back then 3 years later. Doesn't say how long he was there. In the Spirit. Because he said, in the body, out of the body, I cannot tell, God knows. I knew a man once in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knows. Caught up into the third heaven and receive utterances unlawful for me to utter. Abundance of revelation. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Malachi 3:10.
We've been talking about the tithe. All of this is connected together. And it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. I mentioned to Brother Copeland that I wanted to read something to you. I first heard about this through Keith Moore. He was talking about the tithe, and he related this story about this tithe experiment that was done. And there's a book about it. There's also a documentary on YouTube that you can watch. And I want to read this to you. And it's from a man named Perry Hayden. And the book and documentary tell the story of a Christian man named Perry Hayden. He ran his family's flour mill. And when the mill was on the verge of bankruptcy in 1936, Perry consistently paid his tithes. As a result, the mill was saved. On Sunday morning in 1940, Perry heard a guest minister preach a sermon in church about tithing. His scripture verse was John 12:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. So when the service was over, Perry made a remarkable statement. He said, I'm going to take God at his word. It was wheat planting time in Michigan, and Perry decided to plant 1 cubic inch of wheat, 360 kernels, and see how much was much fruit. He would tithe the first 10% and then plant the remaining harvest. He committed to do this for the next 6 years.
On those seeds.
He counted the seeds.
Yeah.
He committed to do this for the next 6 years. Henry Ford donated the land to begin the tithe experiment. In the first year, it took a 4-foot by 8-foot plot of land to sow 1 cubic inch of seed. It was the smallest wheat field in the world. At harvest time, Perry carefully scraped the ground to get every kernel of wheat. Every precious seed counted. The first year produced a 50-fold harvest. There was much fruit. He tithed 10% and sowed the rest. In the second year, it took a 24-foot by 60-foot plot of land to sow the seed from the harvest of the first year. It took 16,200 kernels to plant the second crop, which was 45 times larger than the first one. The second harvest was 70 pounds. The tithe was 7 pounds. He tithed the 10% and sowed the rest. In the third year, it took nearly an acre to sow. Weather threatened the crop. Prospects for a successful harvest were very slim. Henry Ford personally attended to view the harvesting of the crop. Those of you who don't know Henry Ford, just look at one of the Ford cars. Mm-hmm. That's Henry Ford.
So he invented the assembly line.
The assembly line, yeah. Exactly.
And I personally believe that he invented the assembly line because he learned to tithe right here. And God gave him the assembly line.
Yes, sir.
So he was building cars faster than anybody in the world.
In the third year, it took an acre to sow. Weather threatened the crop. Prospects for a successful crop were very slim. Henry Ford personally attended to view the harvesting of the crop. He took out a well-worn New Testament from his pocket and read John 12:24 to some children, remarking, "Here's the word, there's the wheat." I love that. "Here's the word, there's the wheat." All involved picked up every kernel of wheat. He tithed 10% and sowed the rest on a 14-acre field of Henry Ford's land. In the fourth year, it took 14 acres to sow. Bushels instead of handfuls of kernels were sown. The vice president of the Hearst Corporation flew in from Chicago. The governor and the commissioner of agriculture also attended. It was broadcast over radio. Dozens of photographers from newsreels and newspapers came to report on the spectacular story of dynamic kernels. Now, that's what's online. It's called dynamic kernels. And I watched it. I watched it the other day, and R.G. Letourneau. Yes. Speaks on this. Life magazine devoted an entire page to a picture of Henry Ford helping to bring in the crop. Now, that's huge. Life magazine. That was...
We
mentioned these things, but a lot of people don't realize. Life magazine was a major monthly magazine that went into homes all over the country. My grandfather had stacks of them.
Yeah.
Of those Life magazines, and it would report... on the news that was... They didn't have the news stations that we have now. I mean, this is the way they would communicate. So it was big that they did a story on it. So Life magazine devoted an entire page to a picture of Henry Ford helping to bring in the crop. A squadron of B-24 bombers roared overhead. The fourth crop produced 379 bushels. One cubic inch of wheat had now grown to 1 million. He tithed 10% and sowed the rest. He tithed 10% and sowed the rest. In the fifth year, it took 230 acres to sow. 14 clergymen were invited to the fifth planting ceremony. Henry Ford recognized the significance of his last public undertaking. The experiment went around the world. Ford commented, "When I leave this world, the tithing lesson will eclipse all of my other accomplishments." When I leave this world, the tithing experiment and lesson would eclipse all of my other accomplishments.
What kind of car are you driving today?
I'm driving a Navigator.
What kind?
It's a Ford Expedition. It's a Ford Navigator.
It's a Lincoln, isn't it?
A Lincoln Navigator, yeah. Yeah.
Ford Motor Company.
Yep. Yeah.
That's a nice car.
Henry.
It should be. Its creator was a tither.
A tither, exactly. Exactly.
And the top car was the Lincoln.
Yeah.
Because of Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, there you go. I didn't know that.
Yeah. He named it after Abraham Lincoln.
Wow.
The great emancipator.
Imagine this man, Henry Ford, of everything he did, everything he invented, saying that when I leave this world, the tithing lesson would eclipse
yes.
all of my other accomplishments.
So he gathered together Walter P. Chrysler of Chrysler Motor Company, Ford Motor Company, and Andrew Carnegie, and later Thomas Edison. And he built the first camper out of a Lincoln car. Ford did. Had it built, made a camper out of it. And it's in Dearborn, Michigan.
Wow.
And Bob DeWeese went there one time and saw this thing. And he with Walter P. Chrysler, the Chrysler Motor Company, and Andrew Carnegie, they built all the libraries, and they would get together. And they called it the mastermind. I called it the master's mind.
Right.
And they would get up there and they would pray, and Thomas Edison would go. And a lot of Edison's inventions came out of that master's mind.
Wow.
All of them believers.
Wow.
Walter P. Chrysler. All of them believers.
Wow.
Including Thomas Edison.
Yeah.
And there are pictures of all of them together.
Wow.
And they would go up in the Catskill Mountains and they would stay there and they would pray and they would pray and they would pray over their car companies. Not because they're in competition. And no. But to help the people. Help the people of the United States. To have good cars.
Yeah.
Cars that didn't just break down all the time. And that first one, that Model T, you could have any color you wanted as long as it was black. That they didn't have the assembly line set up where they could paint. But the Model A,
yeah.
Oh, very nice four-cylinder engine. Had a rumble seat in the back.
Yep.
You know what the rumble seat was?
Yep.
You could put it back and people could ride back there. It was a convertible with a rumble
wow.
seat. Put the top down. People could ride in the back and the Model A Ford. And here you go.
So listen, the fifth harvest amounted to 5,555 bushels. Perry tied the 10% and sowed the rest. And you need to be envisioning your own life where this is concerned. In the sixth year, the final harvest required 2,666 acres and amounted to 72,150 bushels of wheat. 276 farmers, representing 30 different faiths and creeds, stepped forward and voluntarily offered their land and helped. Thursday, August 1st, 1946, was proclaimed Biblical Wheat Day by the governor. A huge parade was led by a drum corps in the form of a cross. 15,000 attended the final harvesting ceremony. The entire final harvest was used to feed starving people in Europe. 360 kernels had turned into 55 billion, and the largest yield was only 50-fold. The last harvest was valued at $150,000 in 1946. The amount today would be over $2 million. The experiment worked. God can bless our harvest when we tithe. And so what I did was I went online, because this is a very rare book.
Yeah.
And so I went online and I found it.
There it is.
God is my landlord.
That's it.
And when it got to the house, because I wanted to see the story. There are pictures in here of the whole thing. And I opened it up and I noticed it was signed by Perry Hayden, John 12, 24. And I bought the book for you.
Glory to God. God is my landlord. I've read about it and
look at this. There they are. Henry Ford.
Perry Hayden and Henry Ford. Dearborn, Michigan.
Wow.
The Journal of Dynamic Kernels.
So the reason I brought that to you, because when Keith Moore shared that, it affected me so much. And that was years ago that I first heard this story. The Lord will do that with your harvest, with your harvest. What God has for you, when you tithe off of the income that comes into your house, the gross amount, and you tithe that 10%, you will see it continue to build and build and build and build.
Listen to this. George Parsons, agriculture teacher in the Tecumseh schools. Tecumseh was named after Tecumseh Sherman, I think. Anyway, a Civil War general. And so then the Tecumseh Company, all kinds of machinery, one of the first powered lawnmowers from the Tecumseh Company.
My goodness.
The Tecumseh experiment is now attracting wider and wider attention. Many notables were present for the third planting, among them Sam Price, president of the Grain Dealers National Association, well-known grain man in the United States, L.O. Bracey, president of Michigan Millers Association, Milton Faltering, president of Toledo Board of Trade, Paul Mays, Tecumseh Baker. Praise God. Hayden Flour Mills. Praise God.
The tithe will open up the doors of revelation.
Yes, sir.
Insights, concepts, ideas, the things that God has for us. And we need to put that all together because all of this is a massive, massive blessing from heaven that God will take that 10% and reinvest it. What'd
you find? There's the first one. He planted that. And it turned into that.
Wow.
The Hayden Mills, 1835 to 1947. John Hayden Flour Mill. Hayden Mills. Wow. George, thank you so much.
It blessed me. And when it was signed, it was, I didn't expect that.
Harry Hayden, July 12.
John 12.
Oh, yeah, John 12, 24.
24.
Second year. Praise God.
But that's a picture for us, isn't it? It's a picture for you.
Look at this below. There's Henry Ford sitting on that pile of wheat. And that's the story behind the story.
Praise God.
And we'll be right back.
Praise God.
Today is offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Every promise in the Bible is God's blood-sworn oath to you. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 9 is a picture of a prosperous giver. And actually, it's one of the scriptures that in my life, since I was a little girl, I have stood on when I was sowing a seed. It says, "He which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, woman, girl, or child, I'll add, according as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." There's a lot of like just words that say all, you, abound, every. God's word means what it says. He says every good work you can abound to. There's no debt too big or business too complicated for God to handle and give you wisdom and bring you through. Deuteronomy 28:13 says, "The Lord shall make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. God's will is to bless you. And He not only will deliver you, but He will bring you out on top when you put your business in His hands, put your confidence in His hands, put your finances in His hands, and trust Him with all your heart. Now, I want to take this moment to thank you, partners, for so faithfully sowing into Kenneth Copeland Ministries. It's because of you and the faithfulness of Jesus that we have continued to preach this uncompromised word of faith from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle on every available voice. You've been part of sending that word through broadcasts, magazine, teaching products, events, websites, social media, even to the ends of the earth through some of the ministries that we support who go where we can't go. People have heard the word because of you. So we'll see your seed in your hands and let's pray over it today. Lord, I just thank you for the seeds that are being sown today. I thank you that you have designed a bountiful harvest for this bountiful seed that's going into the ground. And when it's in the ground, it will do what you send that word to do as it comes into the hands of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. I thank you, Lord, that we have wisdom over it and that we have your direction. And then it will do what it's called to do in their lives, Lord, reap a harvest, bring change, bring finances, bring release in Jesus' name. Amen.
And the word of the Lord came to me this way, that we are to preach the uncompromised word of faith from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle. And it's so powerful. And I said that back when we didn't have anything, but I heard it in my spirit. And so it's come to pass from the top of the world through Bill Prankert. On our Canadian board. Mm-hmm. And I have, he said, Brother Copeland, this is the very top of the world. And we play your videos to the Inuit people.
Yeah.
And the bottom of the world. And we have offices in Australia, which is considered the bottom of the world. And so this ministry today is preaching the word of the living God from the top of the world to bottom on five continents.
Praise God.
Mm. We're close. We're close.
Yep.
This Jesus said this minute, this uncompromised word of the kingdom may preach to all nations and with a witness, and then the end shall come. Well, we're doing our part. Yes. And we thank you for being with us today. I want to remind you of something. God loves you, and we love you,
and Jesus is Lord.
Yes.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to thank you for sowing into Kenneth Copeland Ministries. To text to give, text the letters KCM to 36609. Together with you, we are sending the word of faith to families around the world.